Good afternoon, warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fellowship or reproof? How shall we begin such a sensitive topic? We are creatures that are made in God's image, and one of these images is to build relationships. We can't help ourselves. That's the way we are. We have relationships even with animals, and that's why there are some people who keep pets. They have their favorite goldfish, their cats, their dogs. We even have relationship with inanimate objects. Sports. We like sports. We are people with feelings, with hearts. And then, of course, with people. So how do we make such a difficult decision such as fellowship or reproof? Why did God save us and leave us behind? Is it simply to just have a good time, to have relationships with God's creation and God's creatures from a new perspective as sons and daughters of God? Is that why God saved us and left us here, to just simply have a fun and easy and a good time? How do you see your life here on earth? What does it mean to call yourself a Christian? This afternoon we are going to look at two verses, verse 10 and 11. And we're going to look at this topic of fellowship or reproof from the perspective of who we are. They'd like us to have a good, honest evaluation of who we are. Not so much based upon your skill set, your talents. I'm a concert pianist. I'm a sportsman in this sport or that sport. I'm an engineer. I'm a teacher of maths. I'm a teacher of literature. I'm a doctor. I'm a whatever. Not based upon such profession, but based upon your relationship with God. How do you see yourself? One word. A Christian. A Christopher. A bearer of Christ. That's the key. You and I must realize and understand that as a bearer of Christ, what Christ approves, we approve. What Christ disapproves, we must disapprove. Because that's how the world is going to see Christ through us. Our approval, well, you call yourself a Christian, or you mean you Christian can do this? Or you mean you Christian can drink this? Or you mean Christ will do this, Christ will do that? Of course, they are not going to use Christ. They're going to use the term Christian, which means, for us, Christ. That's how important you are to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the world. The problem is, we do not see ourselves from that importance, that perspective of importance. We just simply see ourselves as people are here enjoying life as a Christian. My name is secured in heaven. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ. And therefore, I can do what I want and I am safe. My place in heaven is secured. There is a crown of righteousness with my name on it that no other head can wear. Not even the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John or anyone else. It's mine and mine alone. And Christ himself has reserved that for me. And therefore, I can do what I want, I can enjoy life, I can come to church when I feel like it, I can come on time, I can come late, I can dress in this manner or dress in that manner, I can do whatever I want, eat whatever I want, go anywhere I like, my place in heaven is secure. No responsibility at all in bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that is not your thinking. Because these two verses reminds us of what it means to be a Christian in relation to our fellow human beings. That's it, our fellow human beings. That's what these two verses are all about. And so the first thing we have to bear in mind in helping us choose whether to have fellowship or to reprove. To reprove means to rebuke, to admonish, to scold. And then to have fellowship means you are my friend, you are my brother, you are my sister. Let's do things together. Let me identify myself together with you. That's your choice. So what exactly will be your criteria? So the first is your ability to discern. It's a matter of discernment. Proving. That's discerning. What is acceptable? Now this is always our basis, isn't it? Before salvation, that has also been our basis. What is acceptable to me, I do. And so if to me, it is acceptable for me to watch an R-rated movie, I go. If it's acceptable to me to smoke, I smoke. To drink, I drink. To gamble, I gamble. That was my life. Of course, I can't drink. I'm allergic to alcohol. That's a good thing. My mama never allowed us to drink. My mama refused to let us smoke, even though in our home, drinking and smoking was very common. My uncle, my dad, even my auntie, they all smoke. But my mom has seen the ills of smoking, even though she was not a Christian. She makes sure that we do not smoke and we do not drink, because she has seen enough of drunken people. And so no smoking, no drinking, but gambling she allows. We gamble since we were little children. Learn how to play mahjong, learn how to play all kinds of cards, poker, 21, all kinds. When we were little children, of course we do not play with money, we have no money. We play for matchstick and so on. Whatever that I think, based upon growing up years instilled from my mom, that is acceptable, we just do. Of course, when we are children, well, it's acceptable not to the Lord, but to mom and dad. Right? And so we do. And then once we have a little bit more freedom in school, mom and dad not around. So when you go to school during recess time, children, you continue to do what is acceptable, but acceptable to whom? To yourself. And so very often you might misbehave. You might become a bully. You might say certain words that you will not say in church or at home. Mom not here, dad not here, nobody listen. So I will say what I want to say that is acceptable to me. And then you go to work, it's the same thing. You do what you think is acceptable to you. And if it's acceptable to me to please my boss, because my promotion and my future is in his hands, I please him. Whatever he says, I do. Whether Christian or not, it does not matter, as long as it is acceptable to him. Because if it is acceptable to him, it must be acceptable to me in order for me to get a promotion. That is the thinking of a carnal believer. Definitely the thinking of an unbeliever. But to a Christian, God says, proving what is acceptable to only one person and one person only. Nobody else. The one who gave you the honor and privilege to bear his name, Jesus Christ. And you don't call him Jesus Christ here, you call him Lord. This is a master-Lord relationship, a servant-Lord relationship. That is the thrust. And that is something that we don't like and we forget, because we do not live in a society where the master-slave relationship is common. And sometimes, once in a while, we read of such master-slave relationship in certain homes, and these so-called masters are brought in front of a judge, sentenced to prison because of abuse of their helpers. They burn them with the iron, they burn them with cigarettes, but they do not feed them properly. They use sticks to beat them. They blind their eyes, they break their legs. This is a master-slave relationship in Singapore, and thank God these so-called masters are caught. But we do not have that concept, especially when we are Western educated. My rights, democracy is people power, my people. I selected my prime minister and he should serve me. And so this notion that we are a servant and Jesus Christ is my Lord is not something that we consciously bear in mind. Once in a while, perhaps. But this is not a once in a while concept that the Lord wants us to bear in mind. He says, I want you to discern and prove and test like a metallurgist. You know what's a metallurgist? Test. Someone comes into your shop to the metallurgist. Can you please tell me whether this is fool's gold or real gold? Is this genuine silver or fake? That was what this word was used in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. Proof means to put it under some special testing and examination, whether it is a real product. And so God says, before you take one step, before you open your mouth and say one word, test and see whether this is going to be acceptable to your Lord. Not your Savior. He is, of course, your Savior too. But it's not a Savior relationship that we should bear in mind here, but a Lordship behavior. Hoping that we will be afraid of Him. Because a servant has no right of his own. A servant never questions his Lord. A servant does only one thing, if he is a faithful servant. I must behave and conduct myself. I must only say and do things that my Lord will accept. And fully accept, not partially. 110% acceptance. You give your best, that's the least you can do, and you make sure that everything you do is right in His eyes. That is how you're going to decide whether it is fellowship or reproof. Your ability to discern. If you do not have the ability to discern, you're going to make mistakes after mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. And that is not something that you want to do as a Christian. Because you'll keep on shaming the name of Christ. Because that's exactly who you are. Walking around bearing the image of Jesus Christ. Telling people, especially after your baptism, that from now onwards, when you listen to my mouth, what comes out of my mouth, you hear the words of Christ. You see how I dress? This is how Jesus would dress if he was walking and living in the 21st century. This is how Jesus would behave. This is how Jesus would relate to you. Look at my life. I am a walking, living testimony, breathing testimony of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. That's what it means to tell people, I am a Christian. And if you do not have discernment, you will keep on breaking commandment number 3. You know what is commandment number 3? Don't take the name of the Lord, of your God, in vain. And every time you call yourself a Christian, you do not reflect the Christ of the Bible. Is that not taking the name of Christ in vain? You keep misrepresenting Him. You're lazy. You tell lies, you cut corners, you cheat. You have no qualms. Living like a carnal person. Isn't that taking the name of our Savior in vain? Because we know our Christ is not like that. We know our Christ is a loving, patient, a long-suffering, holy, pure, wonderful Savior. And that's how we are to represent Him. And you cannot do that without discernment. The Bible describes proof, discern what is acceptable to Him and to Him alone. The moment you do not, you're going to fail Him. It's a matter of time. You're trying to counsel one of our, I won't use the word ex because he has not transferred membership, but he has left our church. He was basically very upset and angry with me, of course. Even though it was the Board of Elders' decision, but the pastor is the one who represents the board and he's the face of the Board of Elders, and this is the face that people like to throw rotten eggs at. It's okay. And so we counseled him before he made the decision whether to attend his daughter's marriage, wedding. She was about to marry someone who refused to be baptized first, even though it is clearly stated in our constitution. And we made an exception for him to be baptized before his marriage, even though it was not our regular twice a year baptismal service, which was usually held on the last Sunday of June and the last Sunday of December. So we were prepared to make an exception as the Board of Elders. But he said to us that I would not want to baptize because my mom would be upset. Then I said, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? I cannot upset my mom. And so this daughter of this church member, who was one of our committee leaders, not our session, but committee members, leaders. So therefore he is quite mature. He should know the word of God well enough. And so he was counseled not to participate and have anything to do with the daughter's wedding to this man who deliberately refused to be baptized, even though he was definitely old enough. He is not below the age where the law says you have to get your parents' signature before you are permitted to be baptized. He is getting married, of course. There is no other hindrances other than one that he made for himself. I don't want to displease my mom, my parent. And so we counsel him, we explain to him. And so on the day of the wedding, he attended. He attended the whole thing. Married outside of Pandan, of course. And he even invited some of our church members to attend, not giving them the whole picture. Because some of them told us that if we had known the whole picture, we would not have attended. But be that as it may, once it was confirmed that he attended, the Board of Elders, representatives of the Board of Elders, met up with him after the fact this time. And we asked him very plainly, after we counsel you, after we explain to you, why did you attend? And then he looked at us, and then what he said, I will never forget. Four words. She is my daughter. That's it. She is my daughter. That's it. I'll never forget those words. But what about Christ? So he did what was acceptable to himself, what was acceptable to the daughter, to his future son-in-law, to so many other people. And he dared to even allow the daughter to be married in another church, of course, one of those ecumenical churches outside. Whether he told them the truth about it or not, I do not know. But for whatever reason, they got married in a church. To me, it was a one big gigantic farce. But he did it what was acceptable to him, definitely. Acceptable to the daughter, surely. Because he wanted to hold on and maintain his relationship with his daughter, even at the expense of his relationship with Christ. Of course, he was asked to step down from his position of leadership. No other option. And then we have to do damage control to explain to an entire committee and gave them all the facts and all the data. And then we have to explain to the whole fellowship why so-and-so has to be removed from his position of leadership in that fellowship. It doesn't have to be from the church pulpit because it was just a fellowship. And he was serving only within the fellowship. It was most unpleasant. But it had to be done. If we do not have discernment, if you are not able to do the work of a meteorologist, then why do you want to be a meteorologist? Why do you want to open a shop and tell people, I have the ability, I have the equipment to help you discern whether what you hold in your hand is fool's gold or real gold? Bring into my shop. And then when people bring into your shop, they can't. You can't do it. You pass off fool's gold as real gold, and so these people will walk out, well, fool's gold is real gold. And real gold, you call it fool's gold. God wants you and me to be a meteorologist for the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that you do. God says, I want you to discern. I want you to know what you can do and what you cannot do according to my standard, and it is based upon a lordship relationship that you have with me. And I'm not asking you, God says. You call yourself a Christian, this is my demand. It's not an option. Whereby God says, well, you choose, you don't want to, it's okay. You don't want to do it acceptable to me, it's alright. You can do it to acceptable to somebody else, it's fine. No such thing. If you're not prepared to do this first step, guarantee you're not going to make the right choice between fellowship or reproof. But if you do, let's say if you do make the right choice and you have discernment because you study enough of God's Word and you are able to discern circumstances as well as individual, individual, people in particular, whereby you are able to set aside your feelings and your emotions and you are able to make objective decisions. Sometimes it can be very hard. I can understand that. I know it was very difficult for Dr. Jeffrey Koo when his own daughter studied in FEBC. And she has to mark her paper, her research paper. It must have been so difficult for him to keep his objectivity to mark this paper, knowing that this is my own daughter. And I think most of the time, you may have to be over strict. Maybe she deserves an A-, you'll probably give her a B. If she deserves a B, probably give her a B-, just to make sure. You know that kind of feeling? It's hard when it comes to feelings and emotions. And so one of my own rule when I teach in FEBC is, as far as you're a student, we stop being friends. I don't want to befriend my students. So I never invite my student out for lunch or whatever. But once they graduate, and if they are one of our missionaries, let's go for lunch, let's go for a meal together. But once we have a student-teacher relationship, I keep my distance. So that when I mark your papers, I don't want to allow myself to be colored by my feeling and my relationship with you. I have to be as objective as possible in marking papers. It's tough. But that's where discernment comes in, and you have to think of acceptability to the Lord, not yourself, and not to the other person, not to anybody else, but the Lord. And once you're able to do this, then the second element comes in, just as important as the first. 11a, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. First, it is a matter of discernment. Second, it is a matter of acceptance. Because that's what fellowship is. Acceptance. Who do you want to accept you? You want God to accept you? Then you must only have fellowship with God. Acceptance. If you do not want God to have fellowship with you, that means you don't want to be accepted by God, then you have fellowship with others. And God is very clear. So that God wants us to help us. God did not say, and have no fellowship with unbelievers. He deliberately used the conduct, the unfruitful works of darkness. That means, coming back to the first testimony of this church leader of Pandan, he should have seen beyond the daughter. He should not have said, this is my daughter. That's the problem. That was the wrong pair of glasses that he put on when he evaluated the situation that the Board of Elders warned him and told him in no uncertain terms. You are not just an ordinary church member, you are a leader in the fellowship. It is very important that you conduct yourself correctly in a manner that is acceptable to the Lord. He was not able to see that what the daughter did belong to this category called the unfruitful works of darkness. How can you condone someone, especially your own daughter, to marry this person who openly tells you that I love my parent more than Christ? Of course, he called himself a Christian. Whether he's really one or not, we will never know. Only the day of judgment, then we will know. But other than that, while he walks here on earth, you and I know that there are a lot of people who want to become Christians just to get what they want. And if this is the only way to marry your daughter, okay, lah, I become a Christian. He's an outsider, he's not from Pandan. Alright, she met him outside. Acceptability. That's the key. And so God says, have nothing. Stop having fellowship. You mean some Christians in Ephesus were having fellowship with others? Yes. That's why this prohibition is to stop an action in progress. You mean Christians can stumble and fall into this more often than you and I would care to admit? And that is why the Lord helps us and say, don't look at the person. Look at what the person is doing. Is what the person doing? Is what he's doing? that you are going to condone and accept by having fellowship with that person, because that's what it means. The moment you have fellowship, the moment you attend a meeting, you are approving of the meeting. You know that, right? Your presence symbolically means, signify acceptance. I attend this wedding means I agree with what's happening in this wedding. Unless you are going there like a reporter. You make that very clear. But you're not attending it as a reporter. You're attending this as one of the invited guests. And that means your presence equals acceptance. And that's fellowship. So when you go there, what are you going to say? Congratulations, isn't that fellowship? You sit down at the meal with them, isn't that fellowship? And you continue to give them more kind words of encouragement, isn't that fellowship? That's acceptance. You accept their behavior and conduct, but God says their conduct and behavior belongs to the category that is from the Lord's perspective, if you are prepared to accept it and see it the same way as He saw it, unfruitful. It bears no fruit of the Holy Spirit. It does not promote Christ, in other words. It promotes the devil. Because it is called unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Not unfruitful works of innocence. Incompatibility. Darkness belongs to the devil. Do you know that? You mean what this man's daughter did by what she did and marrying this man who openly refused to be baptized belonged to the work of the devil? That's correct. And by his attendance, he accepted what the daughter did. And his own confession after the fact confirmed it. This is my daughter. Are you going to do the same? That's what the Lord helped us by telling us, don't see the relationship. Because if you don't get your eyes off the relationship before you decide to have or have no fellowship, you're going to capitulate. You're going to allow your feelings to get the better of you, the feelings for that person, and not the feeling that you have for your Lord. But the moment you see the action, the deed of this person, if by my fellowship, if by my association with this person, is it going to promote Christ? Or is it going to be categorized under unfruitful works of darkness, promoting the devil, promoting sin, promoting unbiblical teaching and conduct and behavior? If it does, I stay away. Even if it's from my son, even if it's my daughter, even if it's my wife or my husband or anyone that I love on earth. If you can't make that distinction, you're going to compromise. You're going to have fellowship. You're going to accept. Because we are people with feelings. That's the way we are. Just as what that man said, my daughter. I'm sure he loved his daughter very much. But this is not love. Because it is not based upon truth. Because Christian love is always in truth. This is not in truth. This is in error. This is in sin. That's why it was such a big, big issue. And that's why he had to be removed from his position of leadership. And if we as leaders do not do anything, then we become culpable and partakers of his transgression. That's how serious this is. And it is all going to go back to point number one, no discernment. Because if he truly has discernment, then he will only do what is totally acceptable to the Lord. And he cannot plead ignorance because the board of elders explained to him before the wedding. So he knew. We made it abundantly clear to him. And throughout the meeting, he just asked a couple of questions and he kept silent most of the time. But after the fact, he tried to defend himself and tried to justify, and that made matter even worse. That means he was not even repentant. That was the most tragic of all. He spent so many years building his witness and testimony and service in the church. And everything came crashing down. Just because of one moment of folly.
his witness and service in the church. Did he spend his years, decades, his whole life actually, building, and then everything he just simply threw it out the window just because he wanted to be accepted in the eyes of the daughter. And so he would rather have fellowship in a sinful relationship rather than to be accepted by the Lord. Who do you want to accept you is crucial. And because we are people who continue to build relationships, that will continue to be the challenge. And that was the apex of Abraham's test when God asked him to offer as a burnt offering his only begotten son, Isaac. Do you want to be accepted by the Lord, Abraham? Then you offer your only begotten son as a burnt offering to me. And this will be our constant test, dearly beloved. If the Lord tarries, all these little children that you have in your arms, all these little ones that you put them to sleep and they lie down in their little bed with angelic faces, if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, will they be the one that will cause you to give up your entire life of ministry and service, just like what happened to this man older than me? That means he is in his late 60s or 70s, early 70s. His entire life just simply gone of service. Would you do that? That is why we reminded those who are in their golden years, don't let your guard down just because you have retired from everything else in your life. Never retire from your holy witness and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Because when you stumble and fall at that age, your years of service and witness will come crashing down with you. And you don't have another 40 years to start all over again. Maybe you have less than 40 months to start all over again, and that's it. In a new congregation, in a church that nobody knows you. And all because you have decided to transgress and you have decided to leave the church to start all over again. Fellowship or reproof. You are a walking testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember that. Therefore, discernment according to Scripture is not an option. It must be a very important characteristic of our lives, and that comes with diligent, faithful study of God's holy word, so that you will learn to be acceptable only to the Lord, and that will help you not to have any fellowship based upon not the person's faith and relationship with you, but based upon the person's action, which you must discern whether it is characterized under unfruitful works of darkness or not. If it is, then you cannot have anything to do with it. Does not matter how close and how strong your bond or that relationship that you might have with that person on earth. Why? Because it is also for that person's good. Because God did not say that you just simply stay away. God says you have to go to one extra step, reproof. You have to reproof. And that's what the Bible says. Not only must you not have any fellowship with them, you cannot just simply stand there and do nothing, because that person continues to call himself a Christian. And therefore you have to confront the person. That means you have to reproof them. Reproof them means admonish them. That means you have to expose them and you have to stop them for their good. First, for your own daughter's good, for that person's good. To let your daughter know that what you are doing is a transgression against the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith that you claim to believe in since you were born. You were baptized as an infant and now you want to behave like this.
For your daughter's own good, if you truly love her, you should reprove her and not have fellowship with her. That's what he did. On earth, sure, you're going to have some semblance of peace in the home because your daughter now knows that my dad loves me more than he loves Jesus Christ. You think that is going to be good for the daughter? You think she's going to emulate you well? And when she will have her own children, when she, her children grows up, and then when the own child will do something similar, your right and moral authority as the mother is gone. If your child decides to marry an unbeliever, what moral authority do you have as a mother to tell your child wrong? Your child will just simply look back and look at your own wedding and say, Mom, you did the same. And then now she has her own father as an example for her to keep on transgressing. All because you would rather have fellowship than reproof. You think you are not doing something that is hurtful? You are doing something that is so hurtful to your own child by having fellowship with what she did, which is unfruitful works of darkness. Anything that is against the clear scripture teaching of God's word belongs to the unfruitful works of darkness. It hurts her, and of course, definitely that husband that she is marrying. Definitely. I do not know the state and condition of the marriage now. But whatever it is, when you start a wedding on such a sad and transgressing beginning, don't expect God to bless without sincere, genuine repentance. And even after you repent, there will still be the consequence. Because everyone did it with their eyes opened. There was no pleading of, I did not know, ignorance. They were counseled again and again. All parties concerned. We try our best. But they rejected all of them. And they would rather fellowship than reproof. Reproof will make you very unpopular. But you know that's the right thing to do. If you truly love your daughter, if you truly love that future son-in-law of yours, then you have to reprove. You cannot participate. You cannot have any fellowship. That is what it is. Because we must think in terms of eternity, not what we enjoy here on earth. That's the mentality of an unbeliever. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow I die. Isn't that a perspective of only today on this earth? And they don't think about eternity in hell where there is torment and gnashing of teeth and unending pain. That's how we must look at life and all our fellowship and relationship. And if by reproving you, I can stop you and help you turn direction, you no longer head toward hell, but you can turn and head toward heaven, the reproof will be good. That's exactly what we are supposed to do, to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. It is to help the person and everybody else who was aware of the same situation. And definitely you will protect your own image as a Christian. Because your decision is not just simply about them, it's also about you. Please understand that with every relationship that you make, you can either build up, or you can also tear down every relationship. And if you make the wrong decision when you're supposed to reprove your fellowship, when you're supposed to have fellowship, you reprove. And in this case, you're supposed to reprove, not have fellowship in this context. You're going to ruin yourself as well. Your own life, your own testimony. Now imagine after what this leader did. Imagine if the board of elders, especially the pastor, were to keep quiet, we do nothing. Do you know that by doing nothing, I may not have transgressed the same transgression that he transgressed because I did not attend the wedding? I refused to. Of course, I did not get an invitation. Even if I get it, he knows I will not attend. I may not have committed that transgression of attending the wedding, but I have committed another transgression by helping him cover up. If we were to do nothing, if we were to just simply let him remain as the leader and did nothing, then by my failure, I now have also transgressed against God. Do you realize that?
That's why it is so important that you and I remember how we introduce this afternoon's message. Who are you? You are a Christian. You are a walking testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere you go, private or public. Bear that in mind. And therefore, you and I must choose wisely, and that requires discernment, that requires the right kind of acceptability, and finally, courage. Because to reprove people requires courage. You may have to stand alone. And then people will attack you, people will slander you, people will say all kinds of terrible things against you. But you have to bear it all. Because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ courageously bore it all for you when He stood the test of the persecution, the humiliation and the pain and the crucifixion. He bore it all. Is it too much to ask that we also bear it all for the Lord Jesus Christ to live and to suffer and to die for Him? That's why it requires courage. Stand alone, let me stand alone then. What about all my friends? No need friends. If I have Jesus as my friend, then I don't need any human friend. If by having friendship with you, it results in me fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness, then no thank you. I don't need that kind of friend. If you are truly a brother and a sister in Christ to me, then you should never encourage me or even taunt me or even threaten me into fellowshipping with you, which results in me fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness, because what you do belongs to that category, darkness. And then you want to use friendship, you want to use all kinds of beholding contacts, because you have helped me in this, helped me in that, and therefore I'm supposed to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, then you are truly not my friend. Any friend, any true brothers or sisters in Christ that will cause you to stumble and fall into sin is not truly your friend. A friend will help you maintain your life of holiness. That's a true friend. And that's why you need courage to reprove. Did the Bible not tell us in the book of Proverbs? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Kisses of an enemy, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You think people like to go around wounding people, reproving people? Nobody in their right mind would like to do that. But it is necessary. You think parents like to scold children when children did nothing wrong? Of course not. The parents are not crazy. But when you do something wrong, and the parents keep quiet, having known that you have done something wrong, that is a derelict parent. If the parent truly loves you, the parent will want to stop you from doing wrong. And so the parents will reprove you, rebuke you, because he loved you. Same with our Christian relationships. And that's what our Lord wants us to do as we witness on His behalf. Are you the kind that like to stand alone and be prepared to stand alone? You should learn to stand alone. If you are those kind who like to be in cliques, to be accepted by crowds, by cliques, you've got to be very guarded and very careful of your testimony. Because if you have this desire to be with the crowd, I go to school, I like to be in the clique of this group of friends, that clique, that group of friends, I like to be accepted by them. You are very vulnerable to compromise. If you are the other kind who likes to and able to stand alone, that's a good thing, but not all the time, because stand alone has its negative. You cannot have fellowship, true fellowship. You hide from people, you run away from people. That is the extreme. We must learn how to have fellowship that is sincere and genuine, but at the same time, we must also learn how to stand alone when we need to stand alone. That's why when people talk about, wow, I have my friends, you know, my primary school friend, my secondary school friends, and we are still in contact, and then we still go out for meals and all that. Then I look at the person, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't know how you feel, because I don't have such friends. My primary school friends, when I finish primary school, bye-bye, no contact. Secondary school friends, same thing. Junior college, same thing. I didn't go to junior college, but mine was pre-university, same thing. University, same thing. Army, I don't have friends. Seriously, I don't know how to have that kind of continuity. Then they say, what about your secondary school friends? Well, my secondary school friend is a tree. What do you mean by a tree? A real tree, like a tree. Because during my recess time, I always go to this tree and I talk to the tree.
So the tree and I are very good friends, and the tree can't move, so I can't bring my friend for lunch. So I go to the tree there, and I'll stand there, and I'll talk, and then I'll think. Because I like to play chess. So I think a lot. When I go to the tree, I think about all my moves. Because at the time, I study a lot of chess books. So I think about how to, all my attack and all my defense, I go through in my head. And so I spend a lot of time in my tree. And then when recess time is over, I go back to class. And next day, I talk to my tree. So I stand alone. So most of my life, I'm alone. So I must learn how not to be alone. Standing alone, I'm comfortable. But with people, I'm not that comfortable. But there are the other people, the other way around, I know. They like to be with people. They don't like to stand alone. And therefore, the danger is you compromise. You want to be accepted. That's how you join a group, a crowd. Whether I join or don't join, to me, it doesn't matter. But I know to a lot of people it matters. We are all made differently. But bear in mind, choose wisely. You are a walking testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Lord and your Savior, what you accept, people will see as Christ accepting too. What you reprove, they will also see it as Christ reproving, because you represent Him in your home, in your school, in your workplace. And so therefore choose wisely, fellowship or reproof. If it is unfruitful works of darkness, you must reprove, because Jesus did and Jesus would. And since you are walking in His shoes, so must you. Reprove. Whether the unfruitful works of darkness come from our loved ones or not, it does not matter. Don't see the relationship as the basis for your judgment. See the works as the basis. If it is unfruitful works of darkness, that person needs your help. And you have to reprove. For truly, the wounds of a friend is better than the kisses of an enemy. Because God will call you faithful. And so would that person in time to come. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, teach us, O Lord, the way of truth and righteousness, and grant to us the discernment that we need. For we know that as we live here on earth, witnessing a good confession for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we confess, O Lord, that time and time again, we have stumbled. When we should have reproof, we fellowship. And we should have fellowship, we reproof. Forgive us. Help us, O Lord, to be good, diligent students of Thy Holy Word in order to help us make the right discernment in things, in people, in circumstances, so that we will make the right decision to be accepted by Thee and Thee alone, and not by any man. For we know that when You accept us, some men will accept us, but others will reject us. But those who accept us will also come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, and they are also encouraged as brothers and sisters in Christ. But to fulfill it all, we pray, Lord, for courage. Courage to do what is right and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, even when we have to stand alone. We pray, Lord, that this life that we live will truly be used by Thee to become a blessing to many, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, in Truth BB Church, and also to our loved ones who are without Christ, especially during this Lunar New Year season. For every home that we are able to visit, help us to bear in mind, O Lord, that we are walking testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we not fail Him. For He truly is our Lord and our Master, and we are but His servants. May we be found faithful as we point others to the Savior, and may it truly be the Savior of Holy Scriptures. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.